So the story was in the updates this morning. We haven't really spent any time on it, but John, in addition to the Pistons winning last night, in addition to the Red Wings winning last night, Michigan State picked up a victory.
Mm-hmm.
One of the headlines from the game, Tom Izzo irate as former Spartan star Paul Davis is ejected.
Yeah, would you say one of our local basketball, you know, somebody was ejected at a basketball game. You're thinking, you know, beef stew. Or you're right. Thinking like somebody like that. You're not thinking a guy that played, what, 15, 20 years ago?
Right, but look, Tom
Izzo. And in eight rows up right. On the opposite side of the court?
Now what, Tom like pointed and got him tossed?
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
Oh, no. So there was something that happened, and it's hard because there's not a lot of information. We just go but what we saw on the court. The officials came over and talked to Coach Izzo, and then Izzo obviously makes eye contact with Paul Davis, and you don't have to be a great lip reader
okay.
to understand what Coach Izzo is saying. And then it almost felt like they were going to go back to play. And then the official said, no, you know, he needs to leave. So Coach Izzo looks over at Paul and says, you know, hey, you know, get out of here. So they come down, they, you know, escort him out of the arena.
And we don't know what he said, but this was Tom Izzo's thoughts afterwards.
So at the start of that, first of all, when he says, you know, I don't care if it's 25 or 20 years later, I'm going to call him tomorrow. I've had those calls, not necessarily with a situation like this, but Lloyd will call, I won't answer, and it, you know, and then all of a sudden I see, hey, you know, Coach Carr called. I'm instantly thinking, did one of my former teammates screw up, or did somehow I do something and Coach is calling me on it? Like, it's always going to be called to the principal's office anytime somebody like that in your life gives you a call.
He was disappointed in your take at 7:35.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Or some of the sophomoric things you've had fun with over the... I'm surprised you haven't got slapped by Lloyd.
Yeah, oh, trust me. I learned most of those things from Lloyd.
Oh.
Let's not... Yeah, okay. We had a great time. And but yes, those calls are made. And so I'm sure today, you know, Coach Izzo's going to follow through. He's going to call Paul and have that conversation with. The other question is, what was actually said?
Well, I know, because Izzo clarified what he said wasn't racial or sexual in nature, just out of line.
So, or should be never but said anywhere never, in the world.
Ever.
Ever in the world. So what was said that is... that is not racial or sexual that would get you ejected right, from a game.
That
game.
Venn diagram is tiny.
In a former
overlap.
In a former yeah. radio life, we'd play the game. What did Paul Davis say?
I mean, did he go at someone's family?
Yeah, ticket text. The ones that we can read.
We're not going to be able to read any. No.
I know. That'll be for our pleasure. So I have no idea.
I mean, it had to be like a personal shot at the official, right? I'm trying to figure out what would even qualify. But personal, but not sexual,
right?
Not racial, just mean.
Probably yeah. something to do with mom, wife, or kids. Was the guy bald? I think he was.
Well, yeah, but
crossing the line, though.
No, but that is what was the news story.
Well, that would be one. But it'd be racist.
I don't remember what it was, but very offensive to call someone bald. Yeah. Yes.
Fascinating.
I know.
MSU wasn't going away. There wasn't any drama. This was
the drama.
This was the drama. What the hell did he say? And Tom Izzo, not mincing words, not taking his side, saying, "Get him out of here."
Yeah, I have no clue. What could possibly be said?
It'll come out. Someone heard what he said.
Well, someone for sure. The ref probably did.
Fans who were at the game.
He was surrounded
in the
by
section.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was at the Breslin Center. So obviously, you know, there were local people there. It wasn't like they were on the road and it was full of USC, you know, fans.
No.
I can't even imagine. If it doesn't include any of those two things, like what would be so offensive that you're going to be kicked out?
And that Tom Izzo would be 150% on the side of an official.
Right. Yeah, that's the other odd thing.
Sticking up for the stripes.
Yeah. And I mean, until we know what it is, yeah. like if we hear what it is, we're like, the official is that sensitive?
Well, It sounds like
it wasn't like he was courtside.
No, but it sounds like Tom feels like Paul the next day is going to go, yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
Okay. I know, but I'm dying to know what it was.
Yeah, I know. Curiosity.
Tom, you reading text?
Yeah, and I'm not saying any of them.
Can't read any of them. Don't read them.
At least it would give us an idea. If it doesn't include those two things, what could possibly be said?
Oh, this one I can read. He said, go blue. The ref, and Izzo actually called the ref over to
get him out of here. Yeah, hold on. I heard that. Yeah, you need to make sure he's gone.
I'm trying to read through these and I can't.
Okay,
read
another one is it's because he was drinking a twisted tea.
I don't get it. I saw some of those comments on Twitter.
Yeah.
Is there something I'm missing about drinking twisted tea?
Or is it seen as not manly? I don't drink like iced tea. Team.
Yeah, but you'll drink one of those big daiquiris at a Tigers game.
Yeah, I just don't like, I don't drink iced tea. It's not, whether it's spiked or not. It's just
but
not
are
my,
you saying
my
that
drink
the twisted
choice.
Tea is,
it's a girly
is
drink.
Feminine?
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's why people would be.
Oh, no, you wouldn't say that because you want to make sure you defend all those girly
ahead,
drinks.
Yeah, go ahead. Drink all your girly drinks.
But he does drink those tall.
You want to really emphasize
yes,
this.
Yes,
Jim does, yeah.
The double fist in the daiquiris at Comerica Park.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, so we'll have to see if we, maybe our... Spartan insider Rico will have some insight.
He said Calvin Johnson didn't complete the process of the catch. Phil and Clarkston, people trying to get creative so we can actually read some of theirs.
Yeah,
that doesn't really work.
No.
A lot of words we can't say on the radio. We'll move on. We'll talk Pistons basketball coming up at 9:35. Big time statement against the Knicks last night. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, by now, you've probably heard the news, but on Monday, our coworker and longtime sports reporter, Pat Caputo, revealed that he's got some heartbreaking news. In a post on social media, he shared that he is battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He also said that he's been dealing with two other serious ailments, which put him in the ICU. He said that it was all very sudden, but he hasn't given an update or any other information on his... health battles. So sad news. Prayers to him, thoughts to him. Everyone's pulling for him, thinking of him.
Yeah, John, you were doing shows with him way back when.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did Lions pregame shows. And I learned a lot from him. I also learned the fact that you can challenge people on air and have this. And I know you have a great story about being challenged on air and a great back and forth.
Yeah, he doesn't back down.
No, he doesn't. But for him to be able to challenge people, and then, you know, he would challenge me to back it up with facts.
Yep.
I'm better today at what I do because I had worked with Pat Caputo.
Yeah, and I don't get to see him like at all at this point, but I used to see him. That was almost every shift I came in when I was working nights or weekends or working network for Pistons or Red Wings. He'd be on afterwards and saw him all the time and want to see him more. So we're pulling for him.
Yep. So if the cold, dark days have you down, I'm here to deliver some good news. Starting this week, we're gaining at least a minute of sunlight daily. So Monday was the first day since June that Metro Detroit gained more than a minute of daylight. And by the end of the month, Detroit will be gaining 2+ minutes of sunlight daily, and the sun will be setting at 5:45 p.m. And then they say by mid-February, we'll have sunsets at 6 p.m., and the days will keep getting longer and longer until the end of June.
Question.
Yeah.
What is the sun? Still looking for it this morning. Is it ever going to come out?
I thought you were
like, this dummy's asking a real question.
Yes.
We don't get to see it for weeks or months at a time.
That's
but
the worst part of our winters, I think, is the gloominess. Like the cold, fine, snow, fine, but the lack of sunlight sucks.
That was one of the great things about being at the bowl game in Florida. Even though the last couple of days, I went for a run in the morning and it literally they had a cold snap and it was like 33, 34 degrees when I was out jogging in Orlando. But it was a beautiful, sunny day, and to feel that sun on your face makes all the difference
sure
in the world.
It does. So there's a class action lawsuit against a popular McDonald's sandwich that is picking up some steam. So this lawsuit was filed on December 23rd by four individuals who claim that McDonald's and their McRib is misleading customers because it doesn't actually contain pork rib meat. So instead, the lawsuit claims that the McRib is made with ground up portions of lower grade pork, like pork shoulder, heart, and stomach.
Huh.
Yes. Now, McDonald's has responded.
It's like a hot dog.
And said
parts
that,
parts.
We deny these allegations. They're not true. They say the McRib uses 100% boneless pork with barbecue sauce, onions, and pickles, and there are no hearts or stomach or whatever this tribe.
Tripe?
What's that?
Isn't that like sheep stomach?
Anyway, they say none of that is included. So anyway, the lawsuit, the plaintiffs are seeking damages, restitution, and that's for anyone who's purchased a McRib in the last 4 years. And they want to prevent further deceptive advertising practices.
Does anyone here eat a McRib? Heather, I know you're out.
No.
I don't either. I don't think I've ever had a McRib. There's nothing about it that looks good.
It's like a cult favorite, though.
It is.
It's got a big following.
Yeah. And then they take it away and they bring it back and everybody goes nuts.
Yeah. So it turns out that the Steelers had a little help from some higher power on Sunday night ahead of their shocking 26-24 home win over the Ravens. A priest blessed the field with holy water.
Uh-huh.
And now apparently this is nothing new. I guess this is something that's done before every game.
Oh, every Steelers game? Because it was the end zone where the Baltimore kicker ended up shanking the kick.
Yes, which is why it's getting so much attention too, I think, is because it happened to be a photo of this Father Maximilian Maxwell.
Oh, Max.
Yeah.
That's Mad Max.
Yeah. He kind of went viral after he was caught on camera blessing the field with the holy water and praying by the end zone. And then, like you said, John, it was that exact end zone where the Ravens missed that goal-winning field goal attempt. So
what's his name again?
Maximilian Maxwell.
Oh, Max.
Hey, Hatchett's a Steelers fan.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is he involved in this in any way?
Could be. Okay, all right.
Hey, if I had known this, I may have picked the Steelers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
For our playoff challenge. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Pistons. It's 97.1. Sixteen off the bench for Jaden Ivey. George Blaha on the radio last night with the Pistons on Peacock. John, I called it a statement win.
Mm-hmm.
We started the show today. What statement did the Pistons make with that performance last night?
I mean, I wish they were getting more attention nationally, but I think it was to the city of New York, to the Knicks, to the Eastern Conference. And it had to be a wake-up call to really the entire NBA that this is a team that is not just having a good start. This is a team with a superstar in Cade Cunningham that is extremely deep. And hey, we've been talking about Jalen Duren. Nationally, they might not be talking about Jalen Duren because he didn't play yesterday. They still found a way to dominate the New York Knicks. It put the rest of the NBA on notice. And as you mentioned earlier, this wasn't the NBA Finals. This wasn't even an NBA game. We heard JB talk about it after the game. It was one of 82 games. But this was the first opportunity to play the team that knocked you out of the postseason last year, and you dominated them.
I think it's bigger than one of 82. It counts the same as one of 82, but that's the first time they played the Knicks since the playoffs last year. The top two teams in the East, is Detroit for real or not? They beat them by 31 points. They ran them out of the gym. They out-hustled and outworked them from the jump. 10-plus steals, 10-plus blocks, 20 forced turnovers. They crushed him on the glass. I think it was plus 10 or 12 on the glass. They out-hustled him, they outworked him, and they ran him off the floor. Cade Cunningham was the best player on either team.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson had the same number of assists as you and I did.
Zero.
Cade had 13. The Knicks as a team had 15. Cade got to kick his feet up in the fourth quarter, and the Pistons didn't let up. They added more. They're a deep team. That second unit with Ivy and Dennis Jenkins, I thought they played really well off of one another. Now, they hounded the ball. They played relentlessly. They made the statement, we're the best team in the Eastern Conference. Now, you only get to hold the crown as long as you play that way. But they're capable of playing that way. They're a problem come playoff time. They defend. They're deep. And yeah, they could always use another shooter, and I think there'll be a discussion at the trade deadline about that. They were talking about it last night pregame with Isaiah Thomas. But the Pistons are for real. That's the statement they made last night.
And it was on a back-to-back.
Great point, and it was shorthanded.
Yeah, back-to-back, shorthanded, and they took it to them from the opening tip. There was, at no point in that game, did you think, oh boy, look out for Jalen Brunson, or look out for anything. At halftime, it was 10, and you felt like it was, the eye test told you it was more than that.
Right. They were fighting to earn every bucket. They flashed on the screen a couple minutes to go in the second quarter that the Knicks had more turnovers than made field goals at that point in the second quarter. Like, just a hard fought every possession. This team's breathing down your neck. Asar Thompson doesn't give you any chance to breathe if you're Jalen Brunson. And then Ron Holland comes in, and it's not like he's going to let up either. They always have one of those bulldogs, or pit bulls, as they say, on the perimeter defending the ball. It's a constant. You don't get any relief when you play the Pistons. Cade leaves the game. Okay, good. An MVP candidate's out. Well, we've watched at times Sasser and Danis Jenkins and now Jaden Ivey. That second unit, those guards will fill it up. You don't get to breathe when you play the Pistons. I mean, John, Duncan Robinson's crashing the offensive glass last night. I mean, it was clearly different. That's a different level of intensity that the Pistons brought to the game.
Yeah, everybody showed up to the party. Everybody had a hand in it. And, you know, they were able to, at the end of the first quarter, they're up by one. Mm-hmm. And then they're up by 10 going into half. Then they're up by 20 going into the third. They end up winning by 31. What was the knock on them in the postseason last year against the Knicks?
Some let-ups.
Yeah, you'd get into the fourth quarter, and hey, you'd have a 15-point lead, and then it would evaporate, and then you're in a fight for your life. You end up losing the game.
Like, think about it. That was game one, right? That was the story of game one, and we go, oh, they had them.
Yeah.
They had them on the road in New York, but this young team wasn't ready for the playoffs. Then they take game two, and they took them to six, and the last four games were all decided by 3 points or less. That was without Isaiah Stewart. That was without this team getting a postseason, you know, taste. John, these two teams meet in the playoffs. Pistons should win that series.
Yeah, and I didn't listen to everything that JB had to say after the game. Doing some of those post-game interviews, obviously, you know, some of the easy questions are, hey, what'd you say to him at halftime if you come out and you blow him out in halftime? I would really like to know what the conversation was on the, you know, at the bench in between the third and fourth quarter, knowing what happened in the playoffs last year. You're up by 20. Hey, it's time to put your foot on their throat. It's time to drop the hammer. You've got to have that killer instinct. Whatever it is, I don't know, but I guarantee you that JB did bring up the fact that, hey, we lost a game like this in the postseason last year. Let's show that we've improved.
My favorite moment of the game, Pistons knocked down a triple to hit triple digits. TV timeout. Shot of Spike Lee, sad on the sideline. Cut to Jalen Brunson on the bench, sad and pouting.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, fade out. Pistons fans hooting and hollering, having a great time. LCA was electric. Like, that was a great statement performance for the Pistons last night. We'll get some of your phone calls in the mix. 248-539-9797. Pistons more than a nice little team. I'd say so.
This sounds annoying.
Yeah, I know. Look, one more time. Evan Roberts in New York. Let's get to the people. Carl, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, listen. The Pistons are missing just one thing, and that's Malik Beasley. That's all we need. If he gets clear with the NBA, that's the only missing piece we need. I don't think they need to trade anybody because they can play with anybody. They showed it last night, taking out the Knicks by 30. And I think all we need is one pure shooter to take us over the hill, because it's going to get tougher for us, just like OKC is catching hell now, because teams are going to be ready for us. And they're gonna watch film and develop their defensive schemes to try to stop us. So I think we just need, if I don't know when we can get him back, but I think that's all we need, because the games we lost really weren't by the last week. they weren't by a whole lot, but all we needed was a bit better shooting. And the defense is there. It's just that some teams, they just outplayed us on defense. But we got to get that one pure shooter back on the team, and I think we're good for the season.
Yeah, I just don't know why it's taking so long to get any news on Malik Beasley, one way or the other. It just seems like it's at a standstill.
Yeah. I'd welcome him back. Cost you nothing.
Yeah, if he's cleared, yeah.
Yeah. And look, and if he's not cleared, you approach the trade deadline and you know your first-round picks are late firsts. You're willing to give those up. Tobias Harris is an expiring contract. He could be part of a deal if you think it makes you better. And if you really want to get bold, where it gets a little murkier, would be, what are you doing with Jaden Ivey? Because I think there's another gear, and there's certainly an argument to just let him continue to ramp back up. He's still right around the one-year mark of when that injury happened. He may blossom into that off-ball scorer, shooter that they need. He could also be rolled into a deal to get something more permanent. Ivy's on an expiring deal, something more permanent that fits the team better.
Yeah.
But they're in an advantage position where I'm not clamoring for them to do something for the sake of doing something. They're the best team in the East, and they've earned a little bit of that luxury of, hey, if they choose to run this group into the playoffs, I think they'll make a deep run.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of, do they believe or do we believe that they've got enough to ultimately get it all done? And really just in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
You get to the NBA Finals, anything can happen.
Yeah. Calls, texts, Pistons talk. It's 97.1.
Hey, Planet Fitness, if you are looking to start your fitness journey, maybe you're new to fitness, it's a great place to do it. Any membership offers free fitness training from knowledgeable trainers focused solely on you. And if you're an expert, hey, it's a great place to work out because they've got so many different ways that you can do it. And we all have different reasons why we work out. I've shared mine a number of times with you. I want to be able to have fun with my kids. They range from 4 to 20. They're all doing different things. I want to make sure that I'm healthy enough for a long time to be able to do things with them. It's $15 for the membership. It's a dollar down, $15 for the membership. If you enjoy going and you want to up your membership, they have the Planet Fitness Black Card membership where you have access to over 2,800 clubs nationwide. There's 50 of them here in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids. So if you travel, you always got a place to work out. There's a lot of perks that come along with the two in the Black Card spot. Find your nearest club and join today. You can do it in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet, Planet Fitness.
Text calls talking about the Pistons in their win yesterday against the Knicks. Nick sure are.
You could stop that anytime.
I know. I just want to rub in how stupid that was.
Well, his team didn't back up what he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, and as people have clarified, he's a Nets fan. Evan Roberts, FAN in New York, a Nets fan. But he was talking about the Knicks and how, you know, the Pistons aren't some big threat because they're a nice little cute Gucci pinch your cheeks basketball team. Pistons are a problem. Pistons are going to fight you in a back alley to the finish. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks weren't ready for that fight last night. Some of the response coming in. Pistons are for real. Cade is for real. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. The deepest team. Them winning a championship would depend on style of play in the playoffs and coaching. Making adjustments in a playoff series is underrated for a coach. Sean in a truck. Well said.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all known that Cade is for real. I think now everyone else, especially when you look at MVP odds, like he's top three.
Yeah.
Everyone else is starting to take notice as well.
Guys, reminder, before the game, the Pistons were a one-point underdog. They won by 30. Dallas and Royal Oak.
31, actually.
Yep. Buddy and I were the only guys at a local downtown or local downriver bar. We went specifically to watch the game. What a treat. Statement win without Durin, Tyler, and Woodhaven.
Mm-hmm.
Pistons keep playing this way. You won't be the only one at that bar.
No.
Mm-mm. People are paying attention. Talking about the Pistons, I really like Javonte Green. He reminds me of Vinny Johnson off the bench. Can I make a request for his nickname be the Air Fryer? Have a great day, Gary in Waterford.
Instead of the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Modern version. Hey, will the Red Wings ever get shown some love again? Question mark.
Okay, I know that they're first in their division. They're first in the Eastern Conference, just like the Pistons are.
They won last night. It's a good win in Ottawa.
And we did the, you know, the quote-unquote hockey math. to where they've got a 2.5 game lead over the cut line versus the Pistons having a 3.5 game lead over the second place team. And they just beat maybe the big, I don't know if it's the big obstacle. I think Boston, if they do get Jason Tatum back, they'll be the big obstacle. But right now, I think everybody was looking at New York and saying that's the other team.
That's your showdown spot, top two teams in your conference, and the Pistons won by 30. Not to take away from the Wings winning at Ottawa. It's been a house of horrors, especially a couple years ago. But it's not the same thing as what the Pistons did.
Yeah, and the Pistons have split with the Celtics.
Yeah.
I think they lost at home and they won on the road.
And if you want to, I guess, try to find an apples to apples, the Red Wings played the best team in the East in the Carolina Hurricanes recently, and the Canes showed who they are. Look, I think some of this is not that we want to discount the Red Wings. We'll keep talking about them. I mean, I'm happy they're in first place. Be at the game on Thursday. The Pistons are just, we trust them more. They've achieved more. They're better, right? Between these two teams. I mean, the Wings have a minus goal differential. They're in a very topsy-turvy Eastern Conference where two games one way or two games another could throw you out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Pistons have an MVP candidate, and the Wings don't.
Right, I think Sider's having a hell of a year, but again, the Pistons are just, and I say this as a hockey guy, as someone who goes to more of the Red Wing games, the Pistons are the better story, the better team, and on a day like today, they deserve all the oxygen and all the airtime.
Right, and you're going head-to-head, sure. If it was only the Wings playing last night, we would have talked more Wings today.
Of course.
They'll have their time. Keep doing what you're doing.
Just keep winning, man.
I do think this is an interesting conversation. When are you buying in?
So
Red Wings. Like, is it going to take March?
We watched them blow a 10-point cushion not that long ago.
But they're not that team.
Well, that team wasn't that team Sider's until they better. Were that team. No, I know. Edvinson's taken a jump.
Goaltending is getting better.
Gibson had a rough start, has been much better December on. Yeah.
I'm just curious. I know because they've played more games in the East than any other team. So
that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the negative goal differential is the one that really has my eyebrow raised. Yeah. But then Ottawa has a plus two and they're second to last in the East because it's so jumbled up and tight. Yeah. I mean, the Red Wings they're the top seed right now by points, but they're 7 points from being out of the playoffs.
I mean, right. My answer is like, I'll believe it when they're in the playoffs. I've been out in front of it and looked like a fool several times.
So you're guarded now.
Yeah, I am. Hmm. The car flag's not coming up unless they're in the playoffs.
New Costa.
Look, I've made a fool of myself and will. I mean, that's just doing this job. But I'm going
to
be
you don't have to doing this job. You can. Your propensity is that you do.
I don't think you should hold back, but I'm just being honest. I feel like I have to hold back with the Red Wings.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way. Just because of the previous 3 years in March where you kind of thought you had a shot, you were waiting for them to do something, anything, and they never did.
Yeah, show me end of January they play Colorado. That's a huge measuring stick game. Mm-hmm. Then you have to deal with the layoff, the layover. Some of the guys will play in the Olympics. A lot of the guys won't. Can you come back, get back on the horse in MARCH, hold your ground, get to the deadline. Maybe we get an infusion for the first time. Like, there's a lot of things to look forward to with this team, but there's a lot of questions they have to answer.
I think they've taken a couple, like, significant baby steps here, though. We've mentioned in December, that's a game they lose last year.
Well, how about this? December as a month, I believe, is the best. They won 11 games, I think it was, in December. It's like the best month they've had in more than a decade.
I mean, they're trending the right way here. And then the other thing, I think, just a little good sign last night was getting 2 full points in Ottawa after you only got 1 out of 4 against the Penguins. So you're stopping the bleeding when points are drying up. Just little things that they didn't do last year.
And to your point, last year they actually lose that hockey game because Tkachuk scores to make it a 1-goal game, and then the Red Wings end up on the penalty kill for several 2-minute minors they had to kill off. And what do? They score a shorthanded goal for the first time all season.
Didn't you say it was like 80 games? Or
so Ken Daniels referenced it. It was the first time in 70-plus games that they scored a shorthanded goal.
See?
But last year they give up a power play goal, and it's tied, and you're going, Ottawa, damn it. A little different. Found a way to win.
Yeah. It's a good night.
It's a very good night. Yeah. Got Gator coming into the studio.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you start off 3-0. You better win that game.
Yep.
I know it doesn't happen 100% of the time, but it should happen 99% of the time.
Yeah.
It's a great start, and they've been, you know, he shuffled the lines, and it paid off last night.
Finally really got Raymond nice. Scoring a goal.
Yeah, yeah, and they had other opportunities. They only took 20 shots.
I know.
And they scored on 5 of them, and none of them were empty net goals. So that was pretty good. Gibson was out of his mind.
Yeah.
Played outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. He saw, what, 40 shots, 39 shots, something
so,
like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So he's playing at the level that they thought he would when they got him in the offseason.
Did you watch Sparty basketball last night?
I watched part of the second half, yeah, most of the second half.
Yeah? Did you by chance? I know you got some connections. You know what was said?
I know what was said, or at least I know what's reported that was said.
Oh, I didn't hear what
maybe it wasn't I shouldn't say reported.
Oh, I thought breaking news. Boards,
I saw stuff. Oh, okay. Reported what was said, and it was very unsavory.
Oh boy,
was not appropriate at all.
So Coach Izzo's response was appropriate.
It was appropriate. Yeah.
Okay.
As Tom Izzo said, 150%.
Okay.
Yeah. Anywhere in the world.
He goes, if I agree with the referees 150%, it's almost illegal. So, yeah.
Okay.
It was bad. But Izzo pointed out it wasn't racial. It wasn't sexual.
Yeah.
It was just wildly inappropriate.
Okay. Huh.
And from Paul Davis.
Right.
I mean, that was our first baseman, John, in the softball game.
I know. I saw him. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. That guy's really tall.
He's really tall. That's you saying.
I said that, yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm like, hey, he seemed like such a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. He's a super nice guy. He just said the wrong thing last night, and it's hard to hide.
Yeah, when you're the only when you're guy wearing tall.
Like a white Spartan pullover, everybody else is wearing green.
Yeah.
You're wearing the white pullover, and you're 6'11".
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah. It is, yes. And but the best part I think was you know Izzo, what he mouthed to him. If you at all can read lips, you know what.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. We're going to talk Pistons right out of the gate.
Perfect. They've been hot. People have been talking about them with us all morning. People feeling good about our basketball team. Carson Anderson next, 97.1.